Second hour, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you. We are awaiting Mike Borgonzi at the podium. Titans general manager going to speak to the media following roster cut down to 53. And the waiver claims yesterday that he brought in to add some depth on the defensive side of the ball. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. So we'll hear from Mike Borgonzi in just a second. We bring that to you live and in its entirety. Also, coming up at 11, we're going to have two IndyCar drivers coming in. Graham Rahal and Devlin DeFrancesco going to join us as they prepare for the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix coming up this weekend. So going to be fun. Have some drivers in here.
Be a lot of fun. I mean, you ever watched any F1 or IndyCar stuff?
It's the open wheel racing is crazy.
It's nuts.
It's crazy. And we had Joseph Newgarden in here last Monday. And, you know, I would love to see him get the hometown win. He was talking about it, how it's like he's gotten close. Last year he was so close to getting a win here in Nashville. It's the last week of the season, I believe, so he'd like to go out on top heading in next year.
Yeah, I mean, why would you not? Especially being your hometown. Well, Hendersonville, Nashville, you know.
Close enough. Yes, he's, you know, a stone's throw away.
Yeah, isn't it crazy how a lot of in Nashville in general, we just claim a lot of people.
Right. It's the Middle Tennessee area all kind of gets lumped in. It's like, oh, he's the hometown kid. It's like, all right, well, he's from 45 minutes outside, but whatever.
It works.
We'll call it. Mike Borgonzi is stepping to the podium as we speak. Let's send it over to St. Thomas Sports Park to hear from the Titans GM.
Training camp, competitive. It was a tough camp, you know, especially traveling on the road for 10 days. I thought it was really good for the guys. Thought they responded well. You know, I think the communication between the staff has been great. You know, these last couple of days have been really tough here. It's always hard decisions to make here at the end with the roster. So, you know, I appreciate all the work that the personnel staff put in, the coaching staff, the communication. There really was some tough decisions here at the end, but you know, I think we're excited here to get this thing going here for week one in Denver.
All right. Well, I guess, Mike, you guys had prioritized availability pretty highly, and guys, you brought along. Jalen Armour-Davis hadn't played a ton over his first 3 years. What maybe made him different was worth maybe taking?
Yeah, you know, Jalen, we looked into, and I've studied Jalen since back in Alabama. You know, he has had some injuries. But we feel like we have a good plan here with the training staff and Matt that we're going to be able to get him up to speed. You know, he's a talented corner. As we were going through, you know, these preseason cuts, really, he was, you know, one of the better corners out there that we saw. So, you know, he's still young. He's talented. And there was, you know, four other teams, I think, put a claim in for him, four including us. Yeah, you know, I think anytime you can add a young corner to the roster, that's why we put the claim in.
I like where Cam is from the time you first got your hands on him here to now getting ready to start week one. How do you like his progress?
I'm very pleased with Cam. I mean, the whole staff is. The way he's come in here and worked from day one, you know, the time he's put in, early mornings, and just like any other rookie quarterback, they have to work, you know, through some stuff. But I thought just, you know, seeing him going up against an ours defense during training camp, having the opportunity to go on the road for 10 days and, you know, go against Todd's defense and Raheem's defense in Atlanta, seeing all those different pressure looks and handling that stuff, that's really the toughest thing for these rookie quarterbacks is really just handling protections and seeing all that. And you know, I think he's done a great job with that, you know. Anytime there are mistakes, you know, he'll go back with Bo and Callie and Nick to work through it. But I think he's done an outstanding job with it.
That being said, how do you like the way Brian Callahan and Holtz and Hardegree have worked with him to get him to this point?
Yeah, the one thing they all work together with him. So whether he's meeting with Bo after practice, I know he meets with Brian, you know, late after practice, after the day's over. So there's constant communication between all those coaches with them, and you know, the relationship with Cam, you know, between Brian and Nick and Bo, has been great. You know, they've all coached quarterbacks before in the past. You know, with Brian and Bo, and you know, I think it's been great. You know, it's constant communication between all of them, and they're all on the same page.
How big is that jump for him from limited snaps, pretty vanilla defenses, and the directive not to get hit, into full games, everything goes defensively, and obviously going to get hit?
Yeah, I mean, the live bullets are flying now. I mean, you go through the preseason, but anytime it's like training camp, it picks up. You know, the preseason picks up in speed, and in week one in Denver, it's going to pick up. So there'll be an adjustment to that. So, you know, I think he got hit once, took one sack here in the preseason. But, you know, the speed of the game picks up here as we go on. So it's going to be adjustment for all these rookies, not just him.
What did you see out of Brendan Crenshaw Dixon that said he needed to be on the 53 ahead of some of the guys who had a little bit of experience?
Yeah, you know, he's done a really good job since even we got him here in OTAs. He's made a lot of progress here. And when you have those young tackles that you think have a potential to hit really high ceiling, and Brendan is one of those guys right now, and sometimes you want to hold on to, you know, those guys, especially when you get down to the cuts here. Teams are always looking for young tackles. They're hard to find. So, you know, I've been pleased with his growth. He's got a ways to go, but you know, working with Bill and the staff, you know, he's got a lot of potential. So that's the reason why we held on to him right now.
You talked about being thin on the back end of the roster coming in. He's your lone undrafted rookie. How do you feel like you guys did with your undrafted rookie class, given that? Right?
Yeah, good. I mean, I thought the competition was good. You know, we obviously kept Brendan on, and you know, Restrepo's back here on the practice squad. I mean, you're always, these guys, even though we let them go here now, you know, they could be back here at some point. You know, we made some waiver claims, some guys we added to the practice squad. So I think our staff always does a great job of evaluating these young guys. And, you know, it's different every year for the guys that you keep. It depends, you know, what your depth is on the roster. You know, we found an opportunity here to claim a couple of corners here at the cutdown day with Womack too. So, you know, I think they came in here, they competed well, and like I told them too, when we released them, this might not be the last time we see you. You know, we could bring you back here in the practice squad at some point this season, so it's always fluid.
How much were those moves to get Womack and Armour Davis a reflection of your expectation for Legarius at the start of the season? Just kind of what is your expectation for timeline for
LJ, you know, he's been doing great. You know, we got him out here at practice this week here, and you know, really, we'll see how he looks next week. But, you know, corners you can't have enough of. I know we have seven right now in the active, and, you know, we went heavy in the O-line. Those positions are tough once you get into the season. So there's a lot of roster gymnastics you have to do here at the beginning to try to, you know, keep some guys. And corners and offensive linemen, in my experience, have been the toughest, you know, position group to really find during the season. So that's really the reason why we went heavy there.
Class 2023 from just 2 years ago is really right now down to just Peter. Of course, Tajay's on IR, so is Levis. But is that just a product of calling out some parts that maybe don't fit as well as some of the guys you've brought in? Or why do you think that some of those guys just couldn't stick around?
You know, this league is really tough and competitive year to year. So it just happens some of the guys that we brought in, we felt like we were going to keep them. And you know, those guys will have other opportunities here with other teams, but it depends on, you know, year to year, really, the guys you bring in, the guys you draft, the free agents that you bring in, and the roster looks different every year. So, you know, those guys will be on teams. They're talented. So, you know, it's just the way the National Football League is. It's a year to year thing.
Mike, how tough is it to add a couple of guys to the 53 that haven't played, you know, an NFL snap yet, I guess, in Ravenel and Mousy?
Yeah, you know, Mousy, we watched in the preseason. We got an opportunity to see him here that last preseason game. You know, we watched him in college. You know, he's a good special teams linebacker. So those young guys that can get on the field right away and play teams. You know, we felt like he's one of those guys that we identified here in the process. And, you know, and then sometimes you're getting guys, like I said, it's a lot of roster gymnastics at this point, and sometimes it's manipulation. And we brought Ravenel in here as a young developmental guy that we wanted to get on the roster to take a look at. We've looked at him the last 2 years. He made a big jump in Baltimore this year. Now he's a big man, he played defensive end. He can slide into three technique. So anytime you can get those big guys in here and young and continue to develop them, that was our thinking on that.
Mike, O-line additions as a whole, have they kind of met expectations, whether it's the guys that you were able to add, free agency or otherwise?
Yeah. We've been really happy, you know, with Dan and Kevin and those guys. They've really had a nice camp. You know, Kevin hasn't done the preseason games, but, you know, he's got enough experience there where he's going to be ready to roll here during the season. But, you know, having Dan at left tackle, I think he's done a really good job there. And then moving JC to the right, you know, and then getting Cush back here at practice. We'll see, you know, how it looks here next week, too. So they're starting to gel, though, you know, so I feel good about that unit right now.
11 back on the practice squad, is that indicative that things are progressing well for Lloyd and good to have 11 back either way?
Yeah, no, that was our expectation to get Corey back. Like I said, you know, really the practice squad really has become like an extension of the active roster where you can move guys up with elevations and stuff. So, you know, we had to do that with Corey right now, but Corey's going to be here.
Mike, in assembling this team, how much of a priority in your mind is playing the long game, so to speak, looking years down the road, maybe more than you would normally given the situation of the team?
Yeah, I mean, you always want to try to hold on and acquire your best players, and especially with young guys here. So, you know, when you're holding on to some young guys here and you're hoping they develop here over the years, that's a part of it. Even if you have even if we've been established in Kansas City, we're holding on to younger guys, you know, just because, you know, there's growth there, there's potential. You don't want to lose those guys. So I think some of the things we did holding on to some of these younger guys, you know, it depends on the roster, but, you know, we want to keep our best players. So, you know, that's really why we kept some of those guys on.
You guys haven't added anybody to the edge rushing department yet. Is that something that you are just satisfied with the group that you have? Or are you looking around maybe the waiver, maybe guys that are veterans waiting for money, getting closer to the season, seeing if those prices change, that kind of thing?
We're always looking for every position, but you know, our edge group has done a good job. You know, we added Ward in here and Draymond in the offseason, and then having Harold here, you know, back here. You can play some special teams as well. So that process of evaluating position groups never ends. We went through and evaluated what could come free here in the preseason, and we felt good about where the guys we had.
What do you see in the two new defensive linemen?
Well, you know, with Shy, you know, he's had a lot of experience. He's played, you know, had some really good years in New Orleans. You know, Shy can play. He's got a little bit more versatility in there. He can play three technique. He can play nose. He has experience with Tracy. And with CJ, you know, he, like I said, he's a young developmental guy who's a big end that can play three technique as well. And hopefully he can help us out down the road here.
These guys still developing, but Chim, Alec, and Gunner, how do you like what you've seen from those three, you know, a week away from the season?
Yeah, I mean, they've done some really good things here in camp. You know, I think they're always prepared. That's the big thing, and that's the reason why they being able to get on the field right away is because they're smart and they work hard. And they've done some really good things here in practice and in the game as well. So we've been really pleased with those guys here. Yeah, that was a tough one because he really did have a nice camp for us. You know, I'd like to keep all the guys, but you can only keep 53, and we kept, you know, six at receiver. You know, but we're really glad he's back here on the practice squad. And like I said to James the other day, I said, you know, it's a long season, so. You know, it just depended on the numbers that we could keep. And, you know, we're glad to have him back here. And it's a long season, and, you know, he could be up at some point. during the season. But I was really happy with him. You know, the practices, the games, he did a really good job, though. So Chim will be back there. You know, that's really one of the reasons why we drafted Chim, because of his return ability, too. And he's done a nice job out here in practice, so Chim will be out there.
Mike, with the ones on offense just throughout training camp, the preseason, what did you see that gives you confidence you have what you need around Cam to help him be successful as a rookie?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, one thing, the protection's been good up front. You know, I feel good about the offensive line right now. I feel good about some of these young guys that we added here with Chim, Alec, and Gunner. And, you know, we added some guys like Van, and, of course, we got Ridley back here. So I think he has some weapons at his disposal. The biggest thing was protecting him, and I think, you know, we've done that with the offensive line. So it's going to be, you know, There's going to be bumps in the road as you go along the season here. But, you know, we feel good about the group that we have out there right now.
What's your development of the quarterback? If you could think back to when you were in KC with Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and those guys, was there a lot of integrating the things he did at Texas Tech to the offense there with the Chiefs?
Sure. Yeah, there's a lot of things. And I think Brian has touched on that. You know, he's taken some things that he feels comfortable with that he did in college, is incorporated that. The biggest thing is you want these guys to go out and play fast right away, and some of that stuff is you know, getting the plays in there that they feel comfortable with. So that's certainly something that, you know, even before we drafted Cam, that Brian and his staff has been looking at. And we did that with Pat too, though.
How do you feel about the running back room right now?
Yeah, I feel good with Tony. You know, we'll get Tajay back here at some point. I think Julius has had a really good camp. And Mullings is, you know, he's getting better, and he's going to be out there on teams right now. So I feel good about that room now. And we're able to get Mims back here on the practice squad, which I felt good about. You know, he's played in games before. So I feel good about that room right now.
Last one. All set?
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks.
That was Titans general manager Mike Borgonzi at the podium, going through the Titans roster cutdown and much more. We will react to what Borgonzi had to say coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game.
Tell us kind of behind the thinking, two or three more guys, Mike, about the decision on Crochet, whether or not to keep him on 53 and then get him on the practice squad. So.
Yeah, that was a tough one because he really did have a nice camp for us. You know, I'd like to keep all the guys, but you can only keep 53, and we kept, you know, six at receiver. You know, but we're really glad he's back here on the practice squad. And like I said to James the other day, I said, you know, it's a long season, so you know, it just depended on the numbers that we could keep. And you know, we're glad to have him back here, and it's a long season, and you know he could be up at some point during the season. But I was really happy with him. You know, the practices, the games, he did a really good job, though.
What does that mean for the starting
out? So Chim will be back there. You know, that's really one of the reasons why we drafted Chim, because of his return ability, too. And he's done a nice job out here in practice, so Chim will be out there.
That was Mike Borgonzi talking about what was probably the biggest surprise of cutdown day. James Prochet was not retained. He was cut. He has joined the practice squad, but Borgonzi saying Chim Dike, the rookie fourth-round pick out of Florida, will be the starting punt returner. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. So that was probably the biggest question from the Titans cutdowns was, who's going to return punts? Do they feel good about Chim Dike, even though the special teams coach Bones Fossil said about a week and a half ago that they don't trust him back there yet, but it will be Chim Dike week one against the Broncos back there returning punts. I do like it, because I think if that is a big reason why they drafted him, like Borgonzi said, to have him be able to be the returner, you want to get him those reps, but if things go bad early, you run the risk of him losing his confidence, like we've seen with previous returners like Kyle Phillips and some of the other guys they put back there.
But yeah, you also have to remember too, Borgonzi, it wasn't specifically talked about with Shamir Dike about growth and development. That was more for offensive line purposes with Brennan Crenshaw Dixon. You still have to look at that for Shamir Dike. So say if he does lose his confidence, say he does lose stuff like that, James Prochet is your safety net.
Yeah, and it's good to have him, and he said he could be up at some point this season. So you're right. You do keep a backup plan with Prochet on the practice squad, but Jim Dike going to get the start immediately at punt returner, which I think is important because we were talking about if Prochet was on the roster, Jim Dike probably has to be inactive if he's not the punt returner. Now that he's the punt returner, you can also get him some reps on offense, which will be important as he continues to develop. Again, people forget, Jim Dike was picked before Elik Iyemanner. The Titans picked Dike before they took Elik, even though Elik clearly has taken the reins a little bit more at wide receiver since he's joined the team. The other interesting thing, you mentioned the Brandon Crenshaw Dixon. He talked about how he's a young tackle with a very high ceiling, and you don't let those guys go to the waivers. So, again, I didn't hear a ton from anybody who was out at practice that, you know, Brandon Crenshaw Dixon really is improving. I think it was kind of as expected for an undrafted tackle, but clearly they see something that they really like with the rookie out of Florida.
Yeah, I mean, exactly what Borgonzi said. It's tough to find young tackles in this league. And if you have a promising prospect and a guy like that who's, like I said earlier, his stature is 6'7", 315, 316, that's somebody you can really mold into being a good young tackle in this league.
So Mike Borgonzi with high praise for some of his rookies, both rookies out of Florida, actually. Chim Dike and Brandon Crenshaw Dixon both get a vote of confidence from the GM. Other highlights from the press conference, maybe this isn't a highlight. Mike Borgonzi said he feels good about the edge group. And I had seen some tweets from some reporters, and I think Mike Herndon, who writes for PaulKaharsky.com, mentioned maybe there's a veteran edge guy sitting out there in free agency that you go get. I think Preston Smith's still out there. Za'Darius Smith, both Smiths. Maybe you go out and get one of those guys. Didn't seem like Mike Borgonzi's in all that big of a hurry to go bring in a veteran edge player.
No, and I want to emphasize something he mentioned probably two or three times in that press conference. He talked about the three technique, especially for the defensive lineman. You're kind of you're lining up on the outside shoulder of that guard. To me, Denard Wilson likes to bring, I wouldn't say bring the house, but he likes to do a lot of different stunts, a lot of different things with that defense. So you could easily see your defensive line kind of clogging up the middle, and that, to me, would give more opportunities for those edge rushers that are not top quality to maybe do something out there.
Here's an idea. You mentioned C.J. Ravenel could end up being your three technique. Does slim down Jeffrey Simmons get some reps on the edge?
I mean, it's not a bad option. I know it's,
I mean, you're right. Denard Wilson,
he'll play out there. He'll probably play like 5'7" technique. He'll be out there.
But no, but I mean, do you have him stand up? Like,
I don't see that. His handle's still being, I mean, he's still 300 pounds. So,
no, I know. I'm mostly still kidding. Somebody texted that in yesterday about could we see Simmons bump outside? Like, yes, I agree. He'll be in the like 5'7" technique. I don't think you'll have him, you know, playing the Arden Key position.
But, yeah, I mean, I know it's kind of joking matter, but it kind of would put a wrench into things if you're an opposing offensive line, because you have to then kind of rearrange everything
right
to go on Jeffrey Simmons. Say you have to have a pulling guard on that side, have to double team or something like that, and you still got Sweat in the middle with Shy Tuttle. You never know.
Yeah, you mentioned it. Denard Wilson likes to throw different things at the offenses. Maybe that's a wrinkle that we see throughout the year. I wouldn't count on Jeffrey Simmons being standing up on the outside, but who knows?
What a spectacle, though.
If you give yourself flexibility on the defensive line, who knows how you can use those players. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Janice G. from Brentwood asks, how many times did Mike B. say, I counted over 200 times. I saw that text in the break, and I listened during that clip we played about Jim Deacon. I was like, man, he did say it a lot.
Yeah.
You know? And there you go. You got me saying it, too. You got me going with the ums and the filler words. 615-737-1025. You can text or call. When we come back, the Titans announced their captains last night. I'm surprised no one asked Borgonzi about that. Maybe that's more of a Callahan question. And probably. I think Brian Callahan will speak after practice today, coming up at noon. So we'll see if he gets a question about the captains. We will talk about them next, seven of them, including Cam Ward. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game.
Of the quarterback, if you could think back to when you were in KC with Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and those guys – Was there a lot of integrating the things he did at Texas Tech to the offense there with the Chiefs?
Sure. Yeah, there's a lot of things, and I think Brian has touched on that. You know, he's taken some things that he feels comfortable with that he did in college, has incorporated that. The biggest thing is you want these guys to go out and play fast right away, and some of that stuff is you know, getting the plays in there that they feel comfortable with. So that's certainly something that, you know, even before we drafted Cam, that Brian and his staff has been looking at. And we did that with Pat too, though.
That was Titans general manager Mike Borgonzi talking about the way they've developed Cam Ward through training camp and maybe some similarities to how he worked through things with Andy Reid as they develop Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. A reminder, coming up at 11, we will be joined by IndyCar drivers Graham Rahal and Devlin DeFrancesco, going to talk the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix, which is coming up this weekend out at Nashville Super Speedway. So excited to talk with them at the top of the hour. But we hear from Mike Borgonzi there, and he talks about Cam Ward and his development. The Titans announced their captains yesterday, and it included Cam Ward, the number one overall pick. He's the first rookie captain since Marcus Mariota, the second overall pick. And he's joined, we'll list them all off here for you. On the offensive side, it's Ward, Calvin Ridley, and Tony Pollard. On the defensive side of the ball, Jeffrey Simmons, Cody Barton, Amani Hooker, and Morgan Cox is the special teams captain. Really, those are the guys that I kind of expected. I think maybe not. Ridley would be the one that I would have been iffy on. I think you could have gone offensive line with maybe a Lloyd Cushenberry, Peter Skoronski maybe, J.C. Latham, I think, eventually ends up being one of your captains, but maybe it's a little early for him. But the people who say Cam Ward shouldn't be a captain as a rookie, like, have you watched what's been going on in practice in the preseason? Like, this guy is clearly a leader of this team, and I know the old adage is, like, the players will vote, but the coach counts the votes. So who knows if this is actually who they voted for, but it does seem like naturally Cam Ward has become one of the leaders of this team, and it wouldn't make sense to not make him a captain just because he's a rookie.
Yeah, and it shows the direction the Titans are really going in, and that's youth. And you have to really kind of throw, it's like almost like a baptism by fire type thing, but you make a great point, the fact that he's been a leader throughout this preseason and training camp. And I feel it's been a little bit different from the Will Levis, Marcus Mariota esque of captaincy, is the best way to put it, because you mentioned earlier in the show that he's the last rookie quarterback since Marcus Mariota to be a captain. And so looking at that, Mariota and Levis to me were more those quiet captains to where, like, they would kind of lead by example on the field.
Yeah.
And Ward's a little different.
Levis, I think, would try and speak up more than Marcus would, but I think it came off a little fake.
Yeah.
You know, like,
not genuine. Yeah.
Yes. I think Will Levis, it came across as like manufactured leadership of like, I'm the quarterback, I should be the leader, I'm going to try and be the leader. With Marcus, it was like, yeah, I mean, I'm going to go out and do my thing, but I'm not going to be your rah-rah guy. With Ward, I think it's just genuine. Like, it seems like he just genuinely is. I actually heard J.C. Latham was on the Greenlight podcast with Chris Long. Mm. And the last question they asked J.C. Latham was, what is one word to describe Cam Ward? And he said influential. Mm. And like, that's an interesting word to use, but I think it shows you why Cam Ward is a captain as a rookie, because he does, it seems like there's a magnetic feel to his personality that like just draws people in.
Yeah, and I listened to something as well. It wasn't the Greenlight podcast, but it was an interview with CBS. It was Cam Ward and Charles Davis. And Charles Davis had Cam Ward basically give a one-word answer for every place he's been at. And I think Incarnate Word, he said he would describe himself as gunslinger. And then I think at Miami it was like along the lines of like development and really understanding the process of being a quarterback. And that just shows his true, not confidence, but development as a quarterback going into being an NFL star,
right,
in some regard.
And the story from Miami, and I'm forgetting where I found this. It was right around when he was getting drafted. A story was written about Cam Ward had just gotten to Miami. It was like a week into the offseason. and he got a bunch of receivers together to work out down in Miami, and one of them didn't show up. I want to say maybe it was Jacoby George. One of his Miami receivers didn't show up to the practice, and Cam Ward calls him up and goes, "Where are you? You need to get over here. Like, we've got the whole team, like all the receivers together. We're throwing." And he was like, "I'm working out with Lamar Jackson right now. Like, I'm out here with an NFL quarterback." And Cam Ward goes, "Is Lamar Jackson going to be throwing to you this fall?" "No. So get over here." And he made him drive an hour across town to come and work out.
Wow.
So it's like, it does seem like there is just a natural leadership quality. And does that mean he's going to be successful? Maybe not. But, I think it is good to see that his teammates seem to be attracted to him, and you know, they voted him a captain, so I'm excited to see it. I think it's a good sign for Cam Ward as he looks to really take this team by the reins this season.
And you also have to add this as well, with him being a no-star recruit, you have that chip on your shoulder. And for Cam Ward, I feel like that chip on his shoulder kind of gave him that extra edge of being a leader, having to really showcase who he truly is. And I think that's what puts you over the top to being that captain.
Right, right. So Cam Ward announced as a captain, along with Calvin Ridley, Tony Pollard, Jeffrey Simmons, Amani Hooker, Cody Barton, and Morgan Cox. I think Cody Barton, you could kind of say the same thing about on the defensive side of the ball. He's come in as a free agent and really taken that leadership role by the reins, too. I mean, he's your green dot linebacker, which I know a lot was made of last year of who's going to be the green dot. Cody Barton has come in and maybe a more of a relative unknown at linebacker. I don't know if people really thought he was going to come in and be a difference maker. Mm-hmm. And it seems like he really has stepped up since he's arrived here in Nashville.
Yeah, I mean, he's found his place for sure on that defensive side of the ball. And nonetheless, whoever's paired with him, if it's going to be Cedric Gray or whoever else, like that, the way he's able to adapt to that is impressive. It shows that he's a true pro's pro. And that's another reason why you got to, I'd say, nominate him for a captain on this team.
And Morgan Cox, captain again too. Yeah. Three straight years for Morgan Cox. And
special teams warrior.
Right, it makes sense. I mean, you're going to pick a special teamer. He is the longest tenured of the three of them. Like Johnny Hecker obviously has been in the league for a long time, but he just got here. So Morgan Cox is your captain. I think that's about the seven I would have picked. If you told me there were seven, I think the only one I would have wavered on would be Ridley. And maybe would have gone with an offensive lineman. Just that's typically how it goes. You get an offensive lineman, the quarterback, and a skill player on defense or on offense, and then defense, it's one at each level, and then a special teamer.
Yeah, and I'm very surprised that Amani Hooker has not been a captain more than once.
Yeah,
I mean,
me too.
That guy has been a true leader for this Titans franchise in general, and the fact that you don't have much secondary depth the last couple of years, and he's now a captain.
I guess you had KB for the first 3 or 4 years of his career. So
yeah, but right after that, he should have been.
Right. So last year, I'm surprised that he wasn't a captain too. I'm forgetting who the captains were last year. Was Kenneth Murray a captain last year?
Ooh.
I don't think he was.
I'm trying to think of who the defensive captains were last year. Obviously, Jeffrey Simmons, but I'm blanking on who else was a captain last year for this team. Because if it wasn't Hooker on defense, maybe there were less captains.
It was Kenneth Murray.
It was Kenneth. Okay, yeah. Kenneth Murray
was
captain.
Jeffrey Simmons, Kenneth Murray, and it says Amani Hooker from last
season. Oh,
they only had five or six last year. They didn't have seven.
Yeah, because Levis was a captain too.
Yeah, I don't know why it says that then. I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah, because looking at they put the stars on the graphic, and Hooker only has one star there.
So maybe that was just kind of...
That's strange.
But Kenneth Murray was a captain.
Kenneth Murray, captain last year. So who knows? Maybe Cody Barton ends up being like Kenneth Murray. But I think from what we've seen, Cody Barton looks like he's going to be a key piece to this defense. Sean on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, pronounce Mariota's name right, por favor. Isn't...
Mariota?
Marcus Mariota.
Does he want us to say Mariota like Roger Goodell did on draft night?
Mariota, I believe, is like the actual Hawaiian pronunciation.
Mariota.
But like, I don't know if anybody actually uses that, but Mariota It's not Mariota. It's Mariota. We learned that back in the day. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. The Titans have announced their captains. Cam Ward, the number one overall pick, first rookie captain since Marcus Mariota back in 2015. You can text or call our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tune into ESPN 94.9 The Fan this Sunday at 2 p.m. for our college football game of the week. Virginia Tech versus South Carolina, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants, Circa Sportsbook, and Macero in 12 South. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports. We'll continue the conversation around the Titans coming up next. And again, we'll have IndyCar drivers Graham Rahal and Devlin DeFrancesco joining us at the top of the hour. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Vanderbilt football begins the season this Saturday at home against Charleston Southern. Catch all the action on 102.5 The Game. The pregame show starts at 4:30. Kickoff is at 6. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you on this Thursday. Just heard from Mike Borgonzi earlier this hour talking about the Titans' decisions getting down to 53, the waiver claims, and I had one more thing I wanted to get to about the cornerback room. So they asked him about Jalen Armour-Davis. The first question, actually, of the press conference was about Armour-Davis and his injuries. He has only played up to 8 games in an NFL season in his first 3 years in the league. And he basically kind of brushed it off, said, you know, we've looked into it. We think he's fine. We don't think it's a chronic issue. And he did point out that 3 other teams, including the Eagles, did put a claim in for Jalen Armour-Davis. So I kind of feel better about it after hearing that. And he also mentioned that the claims don't have to do with Sneed. I'm a little skeptical on that. He said LeJarius Sneed is doing great, and we'll see how he looks next week. And I think the point he made was that cornerback is one of the harder positions to find depth at during the season, which may be true, but I don't think they make 2 claims at corner, especially outside corner, if they felt 100% about LeJarius Sneed and where he is.
Yeah, you're definitely trying out one of those guys to kind of rotate with Sneed, like I was talking about earlier, kind of rotating Sneed back into the rotation here just to kind of get his feet wet. I don't know if it's one or the other or if it's going to be both of those guys, and they just say, all right, Sneed, just keep working on the side, keep getting back to full health. Yeah, I'm with you on this. I'm still a little hesitant on the whole Sneed injury thing.
Yeah, we'll probably never really know what exactly has happened with LeJarius Sneed since he's been here. I mean, the quad and the legal issues and the knee, it's like somebody needs to write a book about this when it all wraps up.
Yeah, I just look at when Borgonzi mentions nicknames of players, like he kept calling him LJ. I'm just like, are you trying to play this down? Because that's kind of where the vibe I got.
I mean, I guess he was around him for so long in Kansas City that, you know, they probably have a rapport, and I guess that would make sense.
Yeah,
but
you can use that rapport as kind of like a ghosting shield from the media to you. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I also did notice the Titans just announced some of their practice squad transactions. John Ajukwu not added to the practice squad. So a little bit strange that they – and maybe somebody claimed him. I guess that could be what happened, and I haven't seen any – of the waiver wire stuff come down yet, which should come out soon. We're about 24 hours removed from the last one. So we'll see. Maybe he did get claimed. But yeah, John Ajukwu not listed on there, which you would think the fact that they kept him on the 53 initially meant that they wanted to bring him back in some capacity. Mm-hmm. But who knows? I guess we'll find out in the next couple of days.
Yeah, maybe somebody else kind of came through the cracks and said, you know what, I'm going to kind of beat you out on this job. So maybe. I don't know.
He did praise Brandon Crenshaw-Dixon, which is – it was surprising because, again, it's not like this is a guy that we saw in preseason and he looked dominant against third stringers. Like, I don't remember anybody saying anything really, like, overwhelmingly positive about Brandon Crenshaw-Dixon. But, again, we're not in the building. We don't know what he's done. But Borgonzi said that he's made a lot of progress. And, you know, young tackles with high ceilings, they don't get out there very often. So we will see if Crenshaw-Dixon ends up turning into anything. Again, Mike Borgonzi spoke to the media. Nick, do you feel okay about where the Titans are roster-wise? I mean, I don't think this team is going to win a whole lot of games. But I do have to say, I think I feel better depth-wise than I did a week ago with the moves that they've made.
Yeah, I'd say on paper, this team has gotten better. I think you can say that about any NFL team for the most part, but for the Titans specifically, because we've been kind of harping on the depth of this secondary and not really having that, getting two guys off waivers that way, I think that's your – you feel very comfortable with that. As for, I don't know, offensive line, you know, Borgonzi mentioned that, there's still a lot of growth in that, you know, area. That's pretty good. Overall, yeah, I'm pretty excited about this team. The only hesitation I have is the running back room. You know, he talked about how he felt good about the running back room. I'm indifferent about that. We were talking in the break. I don't know how much you can really put on the shoulders of Tony Pollard. Like, I get it. He's a good running back, 1,000-yard guy. I get it. But at the same time, you don't have your – I don't want to call it smash and dash because that's Chris Johnson, Lindell White.
Yeah.
You don't have your Batman to your Robin, your Tajay Spears,
right.
He's out for the first 4 weeks.
No, you look back at when the Titans have been successful, they've had multiple running backs. You mentioned Smash and Dash with Lindell White, Chris Johnson, DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry early on in Derrick Henry's career. Then it was Derrick Henry and Deion Lewis. So you always had a Robin to the Batman. And right now, without Tajay Spears, are you going to give Julius Chestnut more than a handful of snaps on offense per game?
I mean, you kind of have to in a roundabout way.
Right, like you can't just wear Tony Pollard out for the first 4 weeks while Tajay's on IR.
But going back to the whole tight end thing we were talking about earlier, to me, when you keep three tight ends and you have more wide receivers, obviously you're going to throw the ball more. But I think that'd be Callahan, and also that clip you played about Patrick Mahomes and how they had different things they brought back from Texas Tech. I think Callahan's starting to experiment with that, with the lack of depth in certain areas on offense. Cam Ward, what you got from Miami? Let's experiment some things with that.
It's a good point.
Because that's
maybe they want to throw the ball more.
Yeah. I think that's kind of the, you know, the Titans have always been run first mentality. You have Cam Ward who's kind of shifting that tide a little bit. So maybe they throw the ball a little more than they run it.
Yeah, running back was one of those positions yesterday, talking with Corey Curtis, of like, are they going to make a waiver claim? But you know Tajay's going to be back after a month, or at least you hope he's going to be back after a month. Does it make sense to waste a roster spot on another running back? And they decided that what they have is enough. We'll see. I'd be very worried if Tony Pollard got hurt early on in the season, because Julius Chestnut, as good of a running back three as you think he is, he can't be your running back one.
No, he's not a Dante Foreman that the Titans had a few years back when Derrick Henry was injured. You can't have that combo. Looking at this, you know, running back room as a whole, I think you should look at possibly getting a running back off the waivers and or just in free agency. Nonetheless, because that running back room is expendable. Like, I look at Tajay Spears as an expendable asset. I know he's still, you know, a young guy, but running backs in this league are expendable. They're looked at as a dual threat option out of the backfield, a pass catcher slash run game guy in general. Derrick Henry's an anomaly. He just runs the ball. I get that. But now the modern day football is coming to, oh, we need pass catchers out of the backfield.
Well, you look at like the Commanders. Brian Robinson was, I mean, he's a solid running back, good player. They drafted Bill Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt in the seventh round, and he pushed Brian Robinson out in 3 weeks of training camp. So I agree with you. It's like Titans now have spent 2 third-round picks on running backs in the last 5 years with Darrington Evans and Tajay Spears, and it's like, did you really get anything out of it? Like, you've now spent 4 day-two picks on quarterbacks and running backs over the last 5 years, and you kind of just lit those picks on fire. Like, Tajay's been fine.
Yeah. Minus injuries.
But, like, Levis, Willis, and Levis cost you 2 day-two picks because you had to trade one to get him.
Mm-hmm.
Willis, Darrington Evans. Could you have used an extra cornerback with one of those picks or an extra edge rusher?
Yeah.
For sure. And that's why the depth has been so bad, is because they use these day-two picks on positions where, for quarterback, if you don't take a quarterback in day one, it's probably not going to work out. And for running backs, you can really take them anywhere and you can find somebody. You don't have to spend premium draft capital to go get a running back. So
yeah.
We'll see. Maybe Tajay Spears comes back with a vengeance and he figures it out. But it wouldn't shock me if the Titans have to pretty much reset that running back room after this year.
I'm okay with it. I know that sounds kind of negative to say. I'm okay with them resetting the running back room. Like I said, expendable options. I mean, you go grab Jordan Mason from the Vikings if he ever comes available.
Right.
Gallatin guy.
Bring him home.
Yeah. I mean, you could go grab anybody. Seriously. Running backs anywhere.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to text or call, our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll start off hour number three talking to two IndyCar drivers who are in town for the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix coming up this weekend. Graham Rahal and Devlin DeFrancesco are going to join us right after this. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game.